Our Father and our God, we bow our hearts before Thee tonight. Who is likened unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders among the sons of men? Our Father, when we lay on our bed and commune with Thee, when we sit and commune with Thee, or wherever Thou dost meet us, wherever we meet Thee, we think upon Thy goodness toward us and Thy faithfulness unto us in all things. And what a blessing it is, what a mercy it is, for You to deal with a poor sinner's heart, that he would be broken at Thy feet and look away to Christ and find in Him His all in all. And then Thou dost put within our hearts a love to commune with the living God and to praise Thee and to glorify Thee, and for our hearts to go out to Thee in love and thanksgiving and rejoicing. Oh, my Father, this is heaven upon earth, and we just want to thank You for this tonight and praise Thy name with thus dealing with our hearts. We thank You for Thy sovereignty, that Thou art upon the throne. And the Lord Jesus is our King. He rules and reigns in His providence for His church and for each and every one of us. And that all things are working for our good, the good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to Thy purpose. We just bow before Thee tonight. We thank You for the word that You have given us for this hour. We do pray that You will open our hearts and our ears, and may You write this upon our hearts tonight, and that each and every one of us will be able to say it was good to have been in this place tonight because the Lord was here to deal in mercy with our hearts. O Lord, watch over us, keep us, have mercy upon the sick in body, the sick in soul, and O Father, have mercy upon those who do not know You, that Thy will and grace may be done. For it is in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You remember our Bible reading this morning was from Hebrews chapter 12 on the chastening of the Lord. Well, I got to meditating upon that and thinking about the word for tonight. And I got to thinking about that verse of Scripture in Psalms 119. And I want you to turn with me there and let us start there as I am beginning tonight to speak upon this glorious and gracious attribute of our living God. In Psalms 119:90, it is written, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And then look at verse 75. Let's read 71 and then 75 of Psalms 119. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. This is one of the gracious and glorious attributes of our living God, is His faithfulness toward all of His people. You want a good Bible study? Run the references on the word faithful or faithfulness and see what you come up with in reference to all the many scriptures that speak of the faithfulness of God, this glorious attribute that is His. We look all around us today and man no longer lives by his word. No longer is his word his bond. Faithlessness is found everywhere today. Many who take the oath to stand in the sacred desk and preach nothing but the truth of God and the whole counsel of God, you will soon find them unfaithful to their charge. And they will not adhere to the Word of God. But there is one who is faithful. There is one who shows his faithfulness, rising above the scene of man's ruin and sin, of the chaos and the confusion in the day in which we're living. There is one who is faithful. He is faithful in all things. He is faithful at all times. He never fails. He never falters. He will never go back upon His Word. And I have said many a time that I believe that this one attribute of my living God has stood out with me more than any other of His attributes, because He has allowed me in His providence to be in so many situations and so many crises where all was gone unless God delivered. And then the promise came, and the promise was pled, and the promise was laid back before Him. And God, in His faithfulness, kept His Word. He did not lie. He did not put on us any more than we were able to bear. I don't know if you've ever used that one, but I have actually practically wore 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 out. There is no temptation or testing or trial that betakes us, but is common to all men, and God is faithful in that He will not put on us any more than we are able to bear, but He will with the testing make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. How many times have we pled that promise before the Lord, that He was faithful and He could not lie and He would not go back upon Himself. It is contrary to His nature to do anything but to be faithful in all that He has spoken. If we believe not, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny Himself. He's not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. For what has gone out of His mouth, He cannot recall. He is the faithful God who will in all things bring everything to pass. Amen. Psalms 89 is the psalm of God's faithfulness. Turn there with me. Whenever I look for a blessing, I've got them all underlined. In verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt Thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord, Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Look at verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, talking about David and his seed, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Then look at verse 33. Even if his children would go astray, he would bring them back with many stripes, but verse 33, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 37, he confirms it again. Let's read on. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is the sun before me. Talking about Christ. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. God's faithfulness to his people. Now, I could go through the scripture and quote psalm after psalm, or verse after verse, throughout the Word, and show you that God's faithfulness reaches unto the heavens. It is unchangeable. He never forgets. I love the first verse of Genesis 8, where it says, "And God remembered Noah." He had been in that ark for 140 days, and it says there that God remembered Noah. He stayed in there over a year, you remember. But after 140 days, when the water began to go down, it is said that God was faithful. He never forgot. He remembered Noah. He never fails to carry out a promise. He never falters in what he's going to do. He never forfeits his word. He will not go back on his word. Every promise and every prophecy that the Lord has spoken has been exactly adhered to. And how many times have we gone to Lamentations chapter 3? His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Why? Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful in all that he says and that he does. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Why? Because great is the faithfulness of our God. He is faithful in all that he has spoken and all that he will bring to pass. Now, the faithfulness of God means that God is a being, the one true and living God upon whom we can absolutely rely. We can stay ourselves. We can rest upon him. We can lay down right flat upon him, for he is reliable and dependable, and we know that his word will come to pass. He cannot and will not fail us when he gives us his word. Now this makes me rejoice. How many times have we come to this attribute to hold us up in our times of trouble and trials and tribulations? And I was going to give it to you later, but I think I'll give it to you now. There is one that I plead over and over again. Now also, Psalm 71:18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. And even down to hoary hairs, he said that he would be with us. And I was pleading this one the other day, and I reminded him of that. Lord, you said that you would be with me when I am old and gray-headed, that you would not forsake me. Even down to old age, you would bring to pass that which you had spoken. And then how precious that one in Psalm 92 is. Now, I read after a man the other day told me I shouldn't preach like this. He really did. He said you should take a text and unfold the text. Don't go all over the Bible and pick out the same thing that you're talking about and just, well, this teaches the same thing that I'm trying to teach. He said, expound it. Well, I just love to do what I'm doing because these promises are the meat and the marrow of our soul. Without them, we are lost. To have the Word of God to rest upon and to stay our souls upon. In Psalm 92, which we have pled so many times, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And that's been a blessing one, because I'm getting old and decrepit. It takes me a long time to get up in the morning. Y'all don't have any troubles like that, I'm quite certain. But I do. But this comes to me, that I will still be flourishing and fat, not in myself, but in the Lord, and in the Lord's work, and for His glory, and that we would still be bringing forth fruit in old age for His glory. You see, it is the faithfulness of God. Now, I'm going to try to put in the back of my mind what this man told me how I should preach. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, will you? Genesis chapter 8. The altar, they had come out of the ark, and the altar had been built. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord in his heart said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I've done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That was spoken when? Over 4,000 years ago. Now, Jeremiah, when he wanted to talk about that God can't lie, you know what he used? Hold that and let me read it to you. Jeremiah 33:19. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may I also break my covenant with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the very coming up of the sun in the east in the morning and setting in the west in the evening, winter and spring and summer and fall, springtime and harvest in the fall, all connected with the coming of the Messiah. All the coming with the Messiah sitting upon David's throne forever and forever. God coupled the two covenants together. The covenant he had made with Noah, and the covenant he had made with David, that they'd one be sitting upon his throne forever. Now, what I like about Genesis 8:22, let me read it again. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease until the Lord comes back. Are you listening to me? They're spending millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars to try to get the nations of the earth together to try to do something about this greenhouse effect. Because we're getting too much heat up there and it's going to let holes through and the whole earth is going to freeze and waters are going to congeal because the heat is escaping up yonder. But that's not what Genesis 8:22 tells us. Is it? Doesn't say it. Don't worry your little mind about it. Don't worry your little mind about man destroying this earth with the atomic bomb or the H-bomb. God has reserved this earth for Him to destroy it by fire. He's not going to let man do it. And there will always be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, springtime and fall, until the coming of the Lord. And this proves the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, all you have to do is look out of your window in the morning and see the sun come up in the east. And it proves the faithfulness of God. That ought to rejoice our hearts every morning. Then in the 9th chapter of Genesis, he said, verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and thee and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So every time you and I see a rainbow, we ought to praise God that it reminds us of His faithfulness. And it is amazing, but I get goose pimples every time I see a rainbow. I tell you why. You don't get to see rainbows every day. They're few and far between. But when you do see one, it should remind you of God's faithfulness, that God is looking upon that rainbow and He is remembering that He's not going to destroy this world, this earth, with water again. That's the reason this greenhouse effect, again, is all wrong. That the waters are going to come in and inundate the earth because the heat is escaping, or whatever is happening is what they say is happening. God's not going to allow it. Because He promised He would look and see His rainbow. He is faithful in all of His ways. In the 15th of Genesis, He promised unto Abraham, He said, 430 years your seed will be captives down in Egypt. And when you go to the 12th chapter of Exodus, you find that in the self same day, 430 years later, they came out of Egypt. How was God going to do it when they were captives? They were slaves. And yet God fulfilled His promise that He had made. That they would sit one with, that they would come out. Exodus 12:41, it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And then, if you'll go to Isaiah, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give unto you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. 6 centuries went by. Nearly 600 years went by. But Galatians 4:4 says that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made of a woman. Amen. And this is what God said, told Joseph in the dream. He told Joseph, He said, take Mary to be your wife. And reminded him of the promise God had made in Isaiah 7:14. That a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's the faithfulness of God. In that booklet I have in there on eternal life, a gift of God, I was using illustration after illustration concerning the faithfulness of God in that. And one that I used came back to me. A dear friend in Nova Scotia, she might be on our tapes and hear this, I don't know, but if that's okay, she won't mind me telling it. She has called a number of times, and we have talked a number of times, and she says, I believe everything you believe, except that I cannot go along with you in regard to your Armill views, that Christ is ruling and reigning now, and there'll be no thousand-year reign of Christ. I told her on the phone, I said, I'm not going to fall out with you over that. And she said, well, I'm not going to fall out with you either. I said, well, that's fine. She got 12 copies or around that number of that book, Eternal Life, and they were studying it page by page, 60-some-odd pages. They were studying it page by page, and they, in a Bible study, and they got to the word faithfulness that we were giving a commentary on, and I took 2 Samuel 7 and traced through the entire scriptures the promise that God gave to David that he would have one to sit on his throne forever, and showed that had been fulfilled when he came and was born of a virgin. And Peter said it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and he says David's in his tomb, but this same Jesus is Christ and Lord, and he's ruling and reigning now. And she wrote me a letter, and she says, you know, you just, through that booklet, you just about got me convinced that what you believe is right. I never forget that. But there is scripture after scripture you can take and start with 2 Samuel 7 and work it right through the entire Bible and see that Christ came, and that he was of the seed of David, and that God's faithfulness promised it. In his faithfulness he promised it. In his faithfulness he brought it to pass. Now, this is an attribute that should uphold us and keep us in so many of our times. Because I tell you why. There are seasons in our life. There are times in our life when it is not easy for us to believe that God is faithful. We do have our fainting fits at times. And we wonder. Our faith is sorely tried. We can't trace the workings of God's love and of God's grace. And we might even come to the place and say, how in the world could I have ever been so presumptuous to believe I was a child of God? When, look, I can't see his face. The promises can't, I can't grip them. I can't lay hold of them. Satan harasses us. Our cherished plans go by the boards. People we have trusted turn on us. Those who have professed to be our brother and sister in Christ have betrayed us. Amen. And this has happened to me many and many a time. At that time, it's hard to trace the faithfulness of God. That God is faithful even in all of this that He's bringing upon us. And that we're going through right now. And yet Isaiah 50:10 says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And there are times when we walk in darkness and have no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Don't move from there. God will come. God in his faithfulness will come. He will not put you
to shame. I'm going to tell you a story that you've probably heard before, but it's an illustration that I will never get away from as long as I live. I was in Litchfield, Minnesota 4 months when I hurt my back, and for 4 long months I suffered. And on the first day of January of 71, they could do no more for me in Litchfield, and I was sent to an orthopedic in Minneapolis. And I hurt so bad, my back and my right leg, so bad, that I could tell that man where I hurt. It hurt all over. He sent me home for bed rest for 1 month. He said, "Now you call me." And I called him the 1st of February, and he said, I'm getting worse. And he said, "Well, call me again tomorrow. Try one more day." I tried it one more day, and he said, I rang him back the next day and said, "Well, let's try it one more day." And I said, "Doctor," I said, "do you think that you got a psycho case on your hands?" And he says, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I'm sorry you feel that way," but I said, "I've been through this twice. I've had 2 back operations before." And I says, "I know the pain." And I says, "Can't you get me to a neurosurgeon?" He said, "But you told me you didn't have any money." I says, "I don't have a penny. But I'll give you my word that whatever it costs, I will pay every penny of it if it takes me all my life." He said, "I'll call you back." He called me back and said, "Come on in. Got a hospital bed for you at Northwestern Hospital." I went there on a Tuesday, and Friday the neurosurgeon came. He looked at all the things and all the tests they had done. And all that man told me was, he says, "I will operate on you at noon Monday." I never saw him again. I went in the operating room with the promises of God upon my heart. And all I saw was the anesthesiast. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the intensive care, and I'm looking up at all the lights. And I'm coming in and going out. And the nurse, I hollered for the nurse, and she said, she came and she said, "What do you want? What's the matter?" I said, "Did you know I had a faithful God?" She said, "No, that's okay, Reverend. You'll be out here pretty soon. You'll be out here pretty soon." I said, "But let me tell you." And I began to quote all my promises about my faithful God. And she wanted to get me out there as quick as I could. She could. But I kept telling her, "God's faithful. God's faithful." I didn't see a doctor till Friday. That was on a Monday. And Friday afternoon, the orthopedic that I went to in January came in. He said, "I owe you an apology." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you didn't know it, but I was in the operating room on Monday." And he says, "That was the worst disc I've ever seen in my life. No wonder you hurt so bad." And you know, that man went to bat for me and got me compensation. And the money we got from compensation was a down payment on our building in Litchfield, our worshiping place. And that morning, that Friday morning, a nurse came in, and I was weeping for joy. God had woke me up. It's 6 o'clock that morning with Genesis 17:1. And you know what Genesis 17:1 is? "Abram, Abram, I am the Almighty God." And I knew what the word Almighty meant. It meant the breasted one, the all-nourishing God, the all-supplying God. And I knew from that scripture that God was going to furnish all my needs. How am I going to get out of the hospital? I didn't have the slightest idea. And when she stood right there for an hour and a half, and I haven't seen that woman till this day, and I told her about my faithful God, I gave her all my promises. When it was all over, the insurance company had paid for everything and even counted me 15% this able and gave me $3,000 on top of all of that that they paid for, and that was our down payment on our building in Litchfield. I love to tell that story because it proved the faithfulness of God, that He could be trusted no matter what, under any circumstance, He can be trusted. You believe that? That's what He's talking about. And beloved, there are times when it doesn't seem, and I was up there all by myself, mind you. I had no job. I was preaching. But God was supplying our needs. And He was faithful. And He's been faithful ever since. Let me read you that promise again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Stay there. Look to Him. Don't move from there. He is not going to put you to shame. I don't care what comes or goes and how dark it may look at that particular hour, God will not put His believing child to shame. I'm a living example of it, and I praise God for it. I make my boast not in myself, but in the Lord. And when Satan comes around to tell me that God's not faithful, God wants me to say, Satan, get behind me. You're a liar. You're the father of a lie. God has never forsaken His people. He never will forsake His people. He will always bring to pass that which He has spoken. And the thing I love about God's Word is that God was faithful in writing down in His Word what type of creatures we are. He didn't mince any words. We are sinners by nature and by practice. We came into our mother, we were conceived in sin and in our mother's womb. And we came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. That's what God's Word said. He didn't leave us in doubt. He was faithful to remind us that we needed a Redeemer and a Savior. And He saw that the gospel, in its faithfulness, the gospel came to us. In His time, in His way, the gospel came to our souls. We had a need. And He saw that that need was coming. He was faithful to destroy that first generation. He promised that they would. He said to Joshua, you tell them that if anybody takes any of the accursed stuff out of Jericho, I'm going to kill them. And what happened to Achan? They stoned him. God's faithfulness all the way through. And then we started off by reminding you of Hebrews 12, didn't we? And that God is faithful and that He will chasten His children. Did you know His chastening rod is a proof of His faithfulness? That He loves us to such an extent that He is going to chasten us by whatever means, by whatever He uses, whatever it is. He is faithful in this. And He will cause His faithfulness to be known. Hosea 5:15 says, in their affliction, they will seek Me early. And that is the truth. And our Lord spoke the truth and He says, those that are not sick, they have no need for a physician, do they? You don't call a physician till you get sick, do you? You don't call upon the name of the Lord till you need Him. And then He brings us to a place where we began to cry to Him. And then how sweet it is that He's faithful and that He will bring us to the place where our heart go out to us. He is faithful in sending us sorrow. He is faithful in sending us joy. He mixes it up. He is faithful in bringing into our lives those things that will bring glory unto Him. Have you read that little book by Dickey that we have in there? What's the name of it, Brother Ed? The Mercies of God? No, that's Warburton. We have a little book in there that we've sent out thousands of them. Unsearchable riches, isn't it? You read that and see what that man went through with. That man was locked up in a room. He was so thin and so sick. He was by himself in a room and never went out for nearly 15 years. And that room was heaven to this man. And what then that little book came out of his writings from that little room, he was so weak he could hardly move. But heaven was in that room. And God was faithful, brought to him what he needed that the world might have such a book of the glory of the Lord. So we ought to give glory to God in it to His faithfulness. And when we see it, that's the only thing I know of that will stop our murmuring and complaining. It's when we see how good God's been to us, how faithful God has been to us. That'll keep us from worry. That'll keep us from fretting. That'll keep us, even when we get down to old age, and we know we've got to depend upon Him for everything. That faithfulness of God. He's been with us through youth. He's been with us through manhood. He's been with us through the best years of our lives. And now we're down to old age. And now He will keep us. If He kept us then, He will keep us now. If He took care of us then, He will take care of us now. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So let's remember the faithfulness of God. Let us not murmur nor complain at our lot in life. For remember, everything that comes upon us has to first go by the throne of God. Satan could do nothing to Job without God's permission. And there is nothing that can come against us. Not an evil word can be spoke against us, but that God allows it. Not a crisis or a testing that we come into, but that God has allowed it in His faithfulness, for He knows the end from the beginning and what He is going to work out. This is the reason we better not step in and try to play God with different people.
Amen.
And go beyond the bounds and demand of God to do such and such and so for this individual. We better not play God, for we don't know what God is doing with him or how long that affliction may be and what God is working out in their life. And God is greatly honored when under His chastening rods, when the trials come upon us as troops, and we still have good thoughts about Him, He'll not put on me any more than I'm able to bear. If I got my just deserts, I'd be in hell. Or if God would mark iniquity, I could not stand. And we come back and we fall at the feet of the Lord and we praise Him and give Him glory. In the midst of our afflictions, we give Him glory. It is of the Lord. Therefore, I will not open my mouth. Let my speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Thou know how to answer every man, that I will not speak that will go against God and His glory. As if I have a hard taskmaster. As if my Heavenly Father is sitting up there just waiting to beat me over the head, waiting for me to make a false step, they might beat me over the head. No, no. He is faithful in all that He does and brings into our lives. This God can be trusted. This God can be relied upon. This God can be stayed upon. For this God is our God forever and forever, the psalmist said. Do you trust Him? Do you stay yourself upon Him? Do you praise Him and thank Him for this glorious attribute? We all should tonight. And rejoice in Him that He's the faithful God who cannot lie.